Father, I thank you for the Beatitudes because they teach us how to have a blessed life, and we can have that life if things are going good or if things are going bad. Being blessed by you means that we have an abundance of your love, an abundance of your peace and joy, and Lord, we are blessed, and I thank you for this last one because it's a reality in our world, and help us as we look at a tough one, because as Americans, we tend to think it's always our right to stand up and fight. But let's look at the Word and let it speak to us, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to talk about handling opposition to your faith. One of the things I can guarantee you, if you live your faith long enough, you will have opposition. And that's no different than the time of Jesus. I can remember specifically in college when I had gone from being a Christian who did not live like a Christian to a Christian who was living for Christ. And my friends, who I used to run with, constantly made fun of me. Constantly called me names that weren't too flattering and made fun of me. And the only reason is because of my faith and my change. I didn't talk like they talked. I didn't drink with them anymore. I didn't do the things I used to do. And we sometimes don't realize it, but in our world today, persecution is rampant. Not so much in the United States, even though it's rampant here, but it's not as serious physically. I was reading about a family in India. And the family had accepted Christ, and they were trying to live for Christ. And the Hindu leaders came and drugged them to the Hindu temple and told them they had to renounce their faith in Christ. They did not do that, and the leaders proceeded to beat the mom and dad in front of their kids. And eventually they stopped and they let them go, and an organization called Voice for the Martyrs helped them move to a safer area and bought them a place to stay, and also got him a rickshaw, which was a job he could have. And I just can't even imagine having my family taken before some other people and beat simply because we accepted Christ. In America, that doesn't happen. But here's what does happen in America. You get into all kinds of persecution if you say things like, well, I believe only those people who know Jesus Christ are going to heaven. Just say that in a public setting sometime with non-Christians and see how they treat you. It will not be fun. And they'll say, you can't be that narrow-minded and you know, you're just stupid. I've heard it all. Simply because you believe Jesus is the only way to be saved. And so we need to understand that there is persecution. People get upset with us. And the good news is what Jesus has to say in Matthew 5, verses 10 and 12. So listen to what it says. And this sounds like such a contradiction. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, please understand, if you get persecuted because you do things that are wrong, that there's no blessing to that. But Jesus himself said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That means you live a righteous life. You do the right things. And he goes on to say, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's good news, but it gets a little tougher because he says right after that, he says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, several things that verse tells us is we're blessed if we're persecuted for doing right. And I promise you, if you do right, if you don't do as everybody does, if you stand up for what is right, people will persecute you. And there's blessing. Jesus says that. But he also goes on to say, when they revile you. I didn't really know what that word meant, so I looked it up, and it says, you are blessed when people revile you. It means they blast you verbally. It's verbal abuse. And when they persecute you because of Jesus, he says this crazy thing. He says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. And so, in other words, when you are persecuted for doing right, when you are persecuted because of your relationship with Christ, you will have to choose the right attitude. And that attitude, quite honestly, is tough. He says, rejoice and be glad. Why? Because your reward is great in heaven. You see, you won't reap the reward now when you live the life, but he promises you that you will receive your reward someday. Now, the good news, or maybe the bad news, here's what 2 Timothy 3:12 says. He says, yes, and everyone, and that word everyone bothers me. It says, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, he says, will suffer persecution. If you sell out to Jesus Christ, if you are doing your best to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. Now, it may not be death, it may not be beating you, but when you start to live for Him, you will be persecuted. Now, this goes against what some of these health, wealth, and prosperity preachers preach. They preach that if you know Jesus, you're going to be wealthy, healthy. Well, it seems to me they missed 2 Timothy 3:12, where it says you're going to be persecuted. And that's a tragedy today. And we need to teach Christians that if you're going to live right, not everybody's going to like it. It may be your family, it may be people at work, but it's not going to always be good. So what do you need to remember? A couple things you need to remember when you're being persecuted. Number one, opposition can mean you are doing the right thing. Sometimes we need to be assured we're doing the right thing. Well, when you're being persecuted for doing the right thing, Jesus says you're just simply being persecuted because of me. Listen to what he says in John 15, verses 18 through 20. This is Jesus. This is a long time ago. He says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. Listen, it's no big deal for the world to hate you. Jesus says, it hated me first. And then it says, the world would love you as its own, if you belong to it. If you're in a group of non-Christians and you act like them, you're not going to have any problems. The only time you're going to have problems is if you don't do what they do. And you need to understand that they don't like that because you're not one of them. Jesus went on to say, I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would have listened to you. So, in other words, if you're being persecuted for doing right, you're in good standing. Because they did the very same thing to Jesus. Now, Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 14, and we need to understand this. He said, if you're insulted because you bear the name of Christ, in other words, you represent Christ, he says, you will be blessed. Again, if you bear the name, you'll be blessed if you're persecuted. And it said, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. But listen to what he says in verse 16 of 1 Peter 4. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. It's no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name. You know, we just need to teach people that when you're persecuted because of your relationship to Christ, that actually is a blessing. That is actually a sign that you're on the right track. And I can still remember in college when those guys were making fun of me and calling me names, I can still remember thinking to myself, something's different. Because these are the same guys you grew up with and ran with. And the only thing that was different was I was doing my best to try to live for Christ. So opposition can mean you're doing the right thing. Another thing about opposition, and I promise you this, opposition will deepen your faith, or it can deepen your faith. In 1 Peter 1:7, it says, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise, glory, and honor on the day when Christ, when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Here's what I do know. When you're persecuted for your faith, you will either stand or flee. Listen, one of the signs that you're saved, and it's in the Gospels, and I can't remember the exact verse, it says, they withstood persecution till death. And one of the signs that you've got it, that you've got the faith, is there is absolutely nothing that anybody can do to you that will cause you to deserve Him. And let me tell you, when you're in the fire, you find out what you believe. Are you willing to die for what you believe? I mean, seriously, opposition will help purify you. I actually believe it's really hard to be the godly person you need to be if you don't have a little persecution. It just makes you better or worse. But it's your decision. So opposition can and will deepen your faith. And then the third thing, opposition will give me eternal rewards. There is the blessing for living for Christ. The bad news is, it's not now. You know, Americans, we live for the now. And if we don't get it now, then we sometimes think it's not coming. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:12, in this same passage, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." You know, you have to understand, if you do the right thing, and if you face opposition, that your reward will be someday. And you've got to have that hope, and that's important. So those are three things that opposition can do. But here's some things that we can do when we face persecution. Number one, which I find to be the most important for us today, don't be surprised. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world." So the first thing is, when someone persecutes you, when someone makes fun of you because of your faith, don't be surprised. Expect it. Listen. If everyone's cussing but you in a group, don't be surprised if they just make fun of you or avoid you or something. Just understand that when people persecute you, you shouldn't be surprised by that. Just live for Him, and I promise you, you will be. But don't be surprised, Peter said. And then the second thing that Peter teaches is don't be afraid. In 1 Peter 3, verse 14 and 15, it says this, "But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." Listen, when you start getting persecuted for doing right, people want to know what you believe in. And what he is actually saying here, Peter is saying is, don't worry about their threats. Don't be afraid of them. But he says this, he says, listen, you need to be prepared because they may want to know why you're doing what you're doing. Don't be afraid to share why you have standards, why you have a different way of living. Don't be afraid of them, but also be ready to share with them why you're different. There are so many people that want to know why you're different. If you live differently, I promise you, if you do it in a way that is not in your face, they'll ask you why you're living differently. People want to know. Now, our response as a Christian is not to go, "Oh, I do this all the time." No, our response is to share with them why. Why does my family not do what everybody else does? It's because of our relationship to Christ. So don't be afraid of them, but use those opportunities to share. And then another thing is, don't be ashamed. Man, I think I was kind of cool in high school. Is that kind of arrogant to say? I'm not sure. I was voted most friendly. I think I was kind of cool. I'm not sure. But I remember in high school what people thought of me mattered. It really did. And that's why I got involved in drugs and alcohol, because it mattered what people said. And when I got to college and I started making Jesus Lord of my life, they started noticing it. And my vocabulary changed, my actions changed, I was nice instead of being rude, and I didn't do the things I used to do. And one of the things I can remember is, it was kind of like a badge of honor for people to say, "Hey, you're one of those Christians now." Goody two-shoes, they don't use that term anymore, but and I can remember thinking, I'm okay with that. I lost a lot of friends, to be quite honest, and girlfriends. Not a lot, more guy friends than girlfriends. But it was simply because I started going to church, I started living differently, and people, some of my old friends didn't want anything to do with me. And I wasn't ashamed. That was okay. And when you look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, I love what Peter says, because he's writing to persecuted people as well. He says, "But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name." You see, what I started doing with my life in college when I started living for Christ, instead of being ashamed and embarrassed, I saw it as a badge of honor. And you just have to flip the way you think. And that's what basically Peter is saying. Don't be ashamed to suffer for Christ. It's a privilege to be called His name. And then in verse 17 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter, it says this: "Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong." You know, like I said, suffering wrong, for doing wrong, is not what he's talking about here. It's suffering for doing right, and there is blessing and honor in that. So don't be afraid, don't be surprised, and don't be ashamed. And then here's the hard one. This is really hard for men in America who believe in their rights and all that kind of stuff. And all I know is church history. I'm just a nerd now. And if you go back and look at church history, we're basically here because Christians chose to do the right thing instead of retaliating. Listen to what it says in Romans 12, verses 17 through 19. Now, this may be the most difficult little passage to apply. And yet, if you study the early church, they did not retaliate. They were killed, they were persecuted. But listen to what it says. And you don't need a Greek degree to understand this. "Never pay back evil with more evil." One of the things people will say, "Well, you ought to see what they said to me." What does it matter? And then listen, he says, "Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable." And then he says this: "Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone." Now, it doesn't say you're going to live at peace with everyone. It says do all that you can. And one of the things we have to understand is these people who are going to persecute us, we still have to try to reach them. And that's tough. And then this next part, Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says Bill Ashford. No, it says the Lord. Well, how do you understand it? It just says it's not your... See, anytime you get revenge, you're playing God. You're saying, guilty, judged, punished. It's a dangerous place to be. Now, is it easy? No, I'm just like anybody else. If someone does me wrong, I want to do them back. Now, that's not the spirit of God. That's the spirit of my sin nature. It's just, you know, you hit me, I want to hit you back. You cuss me, I want to... But I have to say no. Why? Because that is not my response. I have to understand that. And then this last part is even more. You refuse to retaliate, and then you respond with a blessing. You're a kid again. Well, the scripture taught. Listen, you tell me. He says in Romans 12:21, do not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. You see, our response is, if you do me wrong, I'm going to do you worse. Revenge, get even. But then listen to Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28. This is Jesus speaking. He says, but to you who are willing to listen... Ooh, this is where it gets hard. He says, I say love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. You're kidding me. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who hurt you. Wow. How did Christ, and I thought about this today, how did Christ read, how did he respond to all his enemies? Through the trial to the cross. He didn't retaliate. He suffered. And he died. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, as he was hanging on the cross, he said, Lord, forgive him. That's quite unusual. You say, that's not American. If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You've got to understand, the Bible wasn't written to Americans. Is written to people who want to follow him. The problem in our world today is too many of us are American instead of biblical. I'm all for America. I'm celebrating July 4th, have flags, all that stuff. But let me tell you what my allegiance is to a higher power, who is Christ. And he calls me to a higher standard. And he does you too. So, I challenge you. When you live for him and someone persecutes you, you do the right thing. Realize it's a privilege to follow Christ. Realize it's not easy to follow Christ. But if you want to be blessed, then you're going to have to do the right things. Let's pray. Father, as we go into the work this week, as we go into the world, help us to handle opposition the way that you did. Help us to follow your word. Help us to do the opposite of what we want to do. And the only reason we do that is because we want to follow you. And none of this is easy, but it's biblical. And help us to want to be biblical. I ask this in Jesus' name.